You know, I look back when I first got saved, and I think the first year I was saved, I was worse than I was before I got saved. And I say that in this meaning, I became such a Pharisee. Man, you couldn't cuss around me, you couldn't smoke a cigarette around me. You know, see, I got saved, and then I went and turned myself in. I went to prison after I got saved. So I went and turned myself in because I wanted to get it right. I wanted to get all that stuff off me. I didn't want nothing to ever haunt me from the past. But when I got in prison, they put me in the kitchen to work first. When you first get there, most of the time you go to the kitchen first because nobody wants to go. Man, I'd be mad at God for stealing a cookie. You know, all that kind of stuff, man. I was horrible to be around, you know. And we'd be in church, and I'd see some guys in church, and I'd see them on the back in the dorm making a bet on a game, and look at you. You know, I mean, I was just horrible. I was horrible to be around. And if you're in a situation where you're come through that kind of thing, or you're living with someone, or in a half house, or any of the places like that, sometimes you get so mad at your roommates. You get mad at your brothers and sisters. You get mad at the people around you. You get mad at the case managers. You know, especially when you know they've made a mistake. Oh my God, you couldn't make a mistake around me. You know, if the case manager gave me the wrong time or something like that, then I'd call down there and give them $100 worth of the blues because I was just me. You know, I was just a horrible, horrible person to be around because I didn't quite understand what the love of God was. I thought that if I do everything right, then that would cover me to get to heaven. But God knows I'm a fallible human being.
Man.
He knows that I'm not going to walk a perfect life, especially in front of other human beings. See, because I'm going to tell you something. The word he said there in Matthew 7, he says, therefore be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And this is Jesus talking. So that means that we can be perfect. But we can only be perfect in the eyes of God. See, I'm not going to always be perfect in the eyes of D-Wan because I'm not going to always do what D-Wan wants me to do. I'm not going to always be perfect in the eyes of my wife because I'm not going to always do what my wife wants me to do. Anytime you don't do what a person wants you to do or expects you to do, then you're not perfect in their eyes. How many times do we sit around and we mumble about someone who's made a mistake? I was watching a movie just the other day, and this little boy, his father was beating his mom. Now that she'd beat the mom, he'd run up and try to help, and the father would knock the little boy down, you know, talk to him all kind of ways. It was pretty wild to watch, you know what I mean? But sometimes you see things, it's pretty hard to watch. And if the man, God had called this man to come to a place, and when he got to this place, different spirits were dealing with him. And the spirit showed him, he could see it in the vision of his mother being beat and him going to the rescue and to see him being beat. And his father stand up over him and he asked, the spirit asked him, would you forgive that man? He said, do you think God should forgive that man? And he said, no way, no way. No way. See, all he had to go on, Alejandro, all he had to go on was the hurt he had. All he had to go on was the fear that he remembered. All he had to go on was that hatred that he had developed all those years. So then the spirit brought another vision to his head. And in that vision, there was a man putting a little boy in what looked like a coffin. The little boy was crying and scared, and the man was shaking him and abusing him and running roughshod on him. And the spirit said, should God forgive that little boy? Asked the man. And he looked at him and said, yes. Yes, he ought to forgive that little boy. He ought to love that little boy. And the spirit told him, that little boy is your father. See, he didn't know what his father had went through before it got to him. He didn't know the hurts and things. You don't know what a person is going through, or you don't know what a person has gone through. You don't know the fears, the apprehension, the anxiety that goes through a person's mind and heart. Sometimes you see a person dressed nice and looking nice, and you just don't know what they're going through, the brokenness. And tonight, if I had to title this sermon at all, it would be titled, The Broken Christian. It would be titled, The Broken Christian. It's because that doesn't mean you're not saved. That means God hasn't dealt with all the hurts yet. He hasn't dealt with all the hang-ups yet. He hasn't dealt with all the things that held you hostage yet. There are still some things God is waiting to deal with. But we have to understand something. You know, Jackie Robinson. Now, this story's been told three or four different ways, and I'm going to choose this version of the story. Jackie Robinson, in 1947, became the first black Major League Baseball player to ever play the game in Major Leagues. Now, they were playing somewhere in Yankee Stadium, somewhere they were playing in, I think it might be Cincinnati, now I think about it. But anyway, he was on first base. The crowd hated Jackie Robinson. They called him names, they cussed him, and Jackie Robinson made an error. And when he made that error, the crowd stood up and they booed him with such hatred that you've never seen the likes of. They booed him venomously. They just cursed him, called him every racial epithet that you could imagine. They hated him in the stadium. Now, see, we know the after story of Jackie Robinson, how it ends. But imagine being right there in that situation at that time in real time. He's a fallible human being. Imagine the things going through his mind, and that they were going through that and throwing cups and hanging up, and the whole stadium was standing up. Pee Wee Reese walked over from shortstop to where Jackie Robinson was, and he put his arms around him, and he just held him. The crowd eventually got quiet. They called Pee Wee a traitor. Later in life, Jackie told Pee Wee, "You don't know what you did for me that day." He said, "You just don't know what you did for my career that day." And that's where we're going to go. So we catch each other sometime and we think each other the wrong, or you catch them in a trespass, and we want to be the judge and the jury. We want to execute him, cut off his head, a chunk out of his behind, all that. Well, what does God say? I asked last week, I asked a question. If you had to stand judgment today, what would you ask for? Justice or mercy? Would you want justice or mercy in your life? Let's go to the scriptures. Now I'm going to be reading out of Galatians, the sixth chapter, starting at the first verse. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Lest you also be tempted. Like this brother here tonight confessed that he no longer wants to smoke a cigarette. He threw smoking cigarettes. Now, someone will hear that lives around that brother, and that brother falls weak and gets a cigarette, somebody's going to go back in the back. "See, I told you he wasn't nothing. I told you he wasn't nothing." See, that's why I'm so glad that I'm not God, because I don't know what you've been through. I don't know your story. I don't know, so I don't want to judge you for the wrong that I've seen you done or what the newspaper said. You know what I mean? If you knew my story, if you only knew my story, what I've been through, you know, I wonder what you'd really think about me from where I came from. You know, because I've said this before in this room, so I wasn't a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. And you know what the definition of a real live dope fiend is to me? The definition of a real live dope fiend is a person that will do anything to anybody at any time, given the right set of circumstances. See, that I had to understand something when God saved me. When God saved me for real, I'd go around and people would move their purses at the house. People would put their keys in the pocket. People, you know, they want to watch me. That bothered me for a short time. But God had to teach me something. Once you trespass, the ones I've trespassed on a person, I don't get to choose how long it takes them to heal. I don't get to choose when they decide to forgive me. I have to get forgiveness and I have to move on. And in learning that in myself, I don't judge people that hard today, because I know where it's coming. We were at work and this guy had threatened this other guy. And the guy that did the threatening was working third shift, and we're on first shift, so after he got off, he came back in the building and told the guy, hey, you come on outside. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm the team coordinator at Chambon Son. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not God. I'm not a sheriff. I'm not a detective. I'm not Columbo. I'm none of those things. But I'm a team coordinator. And at Chambon, you got a right to come to work and not feel threatened. You got a right to come to work to feed your family and go home safe. So I heard the story, and I went up front, and I talked to them. So they had already got the story up front before I got it. Then I went up to talk to them. I said, listen. I said, what he did was wrong. It was really wrong, you know. I said, but here, before you make a judgment on this man, let me work with him. I said, let me work with him for, you know, a month or two. Give me 30 days, 60 days just to work with him and see if maybe we can touch in to why he's hurting. See, because I understand today that hurting people hurt people. And so they told me, they said, Lyle, normally that'd be the protocol. We would let you have your way. He said, but this guy has threatened everybody he's worked with since he's been here. He said, he's gone after more people than we could count, Lyle. They said, that's the final straw. Now, I knew they were going to fire him because I'm working the office. I worked through the office. I knew they were going to fire him. So I walked by and I would see him. But I couldn't tell him that. I can't tell you that. You know, I have to be professional at work. They fired the young man. And I walk with a group called the 10-Point Coalition. Anybody ever heard of the 10-Point Coalition in here? Yeah, I walk with it, Jose. One of the beginning members, you know, we've out there. We walk the streets, but people don't know. We walk the streets at night to give people like that young man there a chance. We walk the streets at night to curb the violence. We walk the streets at night so that get the drug addict in the rehab. We walk the streets at night to try to get the homeless person into a shelter somewhere. We walk the streets at night to get the person that doesn't have a job, get him to a place of employment that he can get his family back and he can have a life worth living. And so we were walking one, I don't know if you were there this night or not. You might have been there, and we were on Oxford Street in front of the liquor store. And my brother was there. And my sister's in that crowd, and it was nine of us, as a matter of fact. It was nine, I can't remember if you were or not. Anyway, we had some new people out that night. They were out for the first night. A car slammed on the brakes. Boom! And my brother, because we from the streets, my brother said, that don't look good, Lyle. But me being saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. I said, man, it's okay. I said, it's probably somebody just knows one of us. And my brother said, man, watch that car, Lyle. I said, I sit down. I sit down. We sit down on a little thing, a little glass of wine. I said, man, it's okay. I said, whoever it is, it's okay. And the car stood in the street for a few minutes, then he backed up, then he turned, and he parked. And then Vic looked at me, and my brother said, man, I don't know, Lyle, that don't look good right there, man. And I said, man, I said, what can we do about it? I said, it's okay, man. God got us. So we haven't trespassed on anybody. We haven't done anything to anybody. I said, we're living a life in which God has called us to live. We're doing the best we know how. So the young man put on a mask, you know, because this is what every COVID is. He's got on a mask, so he jumped out of the car. I still don't see who it is. I had seen his eyes were real big, and he breaks through the crowd, and I hear my brother call his name. He said, oh, that's so-and-so. I said, oh. So I sat there, and I'm sitting on the ground, that young man ran in front of me, and he put his fist up like this here and stood in front of me, throwing his fist back. He told me, man, you got me fired. He said, you lied on me. You got me fired. Now, see, there was a time. There was a time when I came off that ground like Mighty Joe Young. See, because I wasn't scared. Scared wasn't one of the things I was as far as fighting head up. But I knew two things. I knew three things. I knew one thing, the young man was wrong because I had never lied on him. I was the guy who tried to fight to save him, Marvin. He just didn't know that. Two, I knew that God had me. That's the first thing. I knew that God said the battle was not mine, but it's his. And I knew that. Three, I got my youngest brother out here. Now, he's my little brother, but he's about this big, like that. But I've got him out here, big guy. And I've got my sister. I have to be an example. I'm the patriarch in my father's house. My father's passed on. So I didn't jump up off the ground and grab him by the legs and pick him up. I stood up and I grabbed his arm like this. Brother, you're making a mistake. Said, you're making a mistake. And he went to curse and he jumped back. And my little sister jumped up and got in front of me. And I got my little sister. I said, no, y'all get back. I said, get back. Y'all get behind me. Get back. He went for his pants and pulled like this. He went for the old pistol play. I told him, get out the way. He ain't have no pistol. He ain't have nothing. I don't know if he dropped it or lost it or whatever. But I grabbed my phone and I began to call 911. The young man said, you calling the police? And he took off to get in his car. Next day at work, he calls me and he's real apologetic. The police wanted me to press charges and everything, you know, because we were out there with the mayor and stuff. But I knew that this young man had some misinformation. And I knew people like me are called to restore him back. And it's not always easy. But God said, he says in his word, he said, brother, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because if I had jumped up and pushed him, that was going to stop a few things. That was going to set him off. That was going to set off my brother. And probably some of the other eight people who's out there with me. You know what I mean? And then where are we going? Then where is my testimony? You can do 1,000 things right. And you do one foolish thing. You can remember for that foolish thing for a long time. Then where is the testimony that God has got me? Where is the testimony that we're out here in the gentleness trying to restore people's lives, trying to save people's lives? I see that guy now when we're out there walking. He always stops now. He gets out of the car and gives me a hug and we talk all the time. You know, because I had to learn. And that showed me, and I'm going to share this with this. God showed me some years back when I was in prison that the battle is not his. That's not mine, but it's his. And some of you have heard this story when I was umpiring a softball game down in Branchville. I was umpiring a softball game and the Aryan Brotherhood was playing. And one of the guys on the Aryan team got threw out of the game by the guy that umpires up under me. But I was on home plate. I was the head umpire. So then, now the pitcher started talking real loud. He started getting real rude. He started getting real belligerent. And I said, time. I said, young man, it's just a ball game, man. I said, there's no place for all that out here. There's no place. See, because people say it's easy to be saved in prison, but it's not if you're really saved. Because you're going against everything that prison stands for when you walk and save. I know what you mean when you tell your story. I know what you mean. He's going against everything he stands for. And the brother looked at me. And he called me everything. He started calling me names. And I shook my head. I said, man, this isn't going where I wanted to go. So when I called time, I said, time. I said, brother, young man, he said one more word. I'm going to throw you out of here. That dude looked at me like that bothered him. He said something else. I said, he's out of here. When I said that, he threw his glove down and he started charging the plate. Now, Jose, I stood there. You know, God give you that full armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, glory with truth, feet shod, the shield of faith. He had nothing on my back, so there was no reason to run. Because I knew if I ran, there was no reason, because God had no protection over my back. God wanted me to face what I need to face. So before he could get to me, they grabbed the young man, they stopped him, and they held him back. And they told him, look out, because in prison, when you're playing for a prize. And they had a chance to win. So his teammates said, man, sit down, let it go, man, deal with him later. So he goes behind the backstop. And he stands behind the backstop, and he calls me everything that he hadn't called me already. He thought some more things. Young man had quite extensive vocabulary. And I said, time! I said, young man, you got 1 minute to be out of earshot, or this game is forfeited. See, as men and women of God, we're not doormats. You got to stand up and do what you know to do is right. But you got to do it in gentleness and meekness. You got to be humble. You can't go in and charging like a lion. You got to do it the right way. You got to consider trying to restore somebody. You got to be a living example because people are watching us when you name the name of God. You can't name the name of Jesus and live any kind of way. So when I told him that young man, and I looked at my clock, and they told him, go on, man, go on back to the dorm. And let it so it be, that young man's on the same dorm I'm on. But Bobby's on the same dorm I'm on. So after the game, I'm headed back to the dorm. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, I said, now one of us got to fight this young man. I said, if I fight him, I'm going to try to hurt him. I said, but Lord, you said the battle was yours and not mine. Do you believe that? It's easy to say that you believe that when nobody's standing in your face. It's easy to believe that when all is well. But do you believe it in the midst of a storm? So I get almost to the dorm, and you can see the glass of the dorm, and you can see all the Aryan Brotherhood standing in the day room. They got their shirts off and got on the short pants, their boots, got the ponytails, the ones that had hair, and they all greased up. You know what the greased up means? You ever been to prison? See, when you get ready to fight, you grease yourself up so can't nobody grab you, get that hold on you. They all greased up. So I'm walking to the dorm. And as I walk into the dorm, they start pointing toward the bathroom. Let me get a piece of tissue. And as I start walking toward that bathroom, I had to go past the bathroom to get to my bunk. As I peeked over my shoulder, looked in the bathroom, there he was, standing there like Mighty Joe Young, chest poked out. You know how it go. He waiting on me. I go on to my bunk. See, because I'd already prayed to God. I had already prayed to God. See, God had already delivered me. There's some people right here in the night sitting in situations that you think is lost, but God has already delivered you. Just because you don't see the door yet doesn't mean nothing. God already delivered you when you ask him. He already made a way for you. You just got to believe. Like Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I get my stuff and I go back and I get my shower stuff. I go back in the bathroom. As I go in the restroom, so I get a shower. The young man steps right in front of me. I said, young man, as I left that game on the field, I said, and if you didn't, you're a bigger fool than I thought. I said, excuse me, sir. Why get me a shower? And I turned around, walked around him. Got undressed after a few minutes. He never looked back at me. He walked on out of the restroom. Now, I'm not confused. Toby, I'm not confused. That young man wasn't scared of me. I'm not confused that he had more help than he needed if the turmoil had started. I'm not confused about any of those things. But what I'm also not confused about, that the battle belongs to the Lord. And it's my job to be a good example. It's my job to stand up and see what Jesus would do. And as I got back to my bunk after I got in the shower. I used to belong to a gang called the Black Gangster Disciples. And as I got back to my bunk, here come all these little guys, young guys, 19, 20, 25, that belong to the Black Gangster Disciples. They got my whole band surrounded, and they grinning. So what's wrong with you guys, man? They's old school. They said, we had you. Said, we just wanted to make sure you wasn't scared. I said, listen, God's got me. I said, don't you get yourself in trouble because of me. I said, don't you dare get yourself in trouble about nothing I said. I said, if you want to follow me, if you want to get me, live like I'm trying to live. Give your life to God and let God stop. But they were watching me. They were watching me to see what I was going to do. Who's watching you? How many times somebody in your set, one of the classes you're in, or whatever situation you're in, not going against what you believe or how you feel, and sometimes you want to just smash him. You want to just smash her. You know what I mean? You curse her. Man, I wish that dude was hit by a bus. Man, I wish somebody, you know, how many times do we live like that? But then we come to church and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's not, being saved isn't about lip service. It's a way of life. It's not about a feeling, because I'm only a human being. When I walked in that dorm, there was some apprehensiveness in me. There had to be, there was a hint of fear in me. I was way outnumbered. But there was a whole lot of belief in me. There was just a whole lot of belief that God was going to do something. And this is why we gotta hold on to the Spirit. And it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't watch your brother fall short and laugh at him. Don't watch your sister hurting and laugh at her. Let's fulfill each other's burdens. Let's carry each other. There's nothing you can do in the name of the Lord that the God don't replenish you. Anytime you help somebody in the name of the Lord, he said, I repay you 30, 60, 100 fold. Anytime you stand up and try to restore people, let's not let each other down. We watch people. I used to go to court back in the old days before I got saved. I'd be in a reentry court. I came to this place here. I came to First Place Mentoring before I was ready to give my life to God and made a shipwreck because I wanted to run things. I didn't know nothing. You know, and I was sitting in court, and I would go in court, and I would try to see who's in trouble. Hey, man, they arrested so-and-so. You can't wait for him to go up front so you see what they're going to do to him. The way we live, Jose. That's the way we live. We don't live like that today. I'm asking you to consider what God has said. I'm going to read this again. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. It goes on to talk about, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Sow a man soweth, that also shall he reap. The way you treat her, God sees you. The way you treat him, God sees you. See, we can come out here sometime and pretend like everything is hunky-dory. But you know, Jose, if you mistreat Victoria, God sees you. You may fool me, Mick and Bob, but you don't fool God. He called you to love her, protect her, love her as Christ loved the church, and he called you to do the same thing. He called us to bear one another's burdens, not laugh at each other, not take from each other, not wish to brag on each other, not look for the worst in each other. Just like that little boy in that coffin, when that man was shaking him, and he asked the other man, should this little boy be forgiven? And the man started to tear up. He said, yes, yes. He said, well, that young man, that little boy is your father. See, Jose, you don't know what Mick had to go through to get where he is. We look at Mick today and say, well, Mick, awesome guy. We see the fruits of his labor. See, we don't know what Marvin had to go through. You can call Marvin tonight. Marvin's going to come get you. Bring you here. He's going to come see about you. Take you out to eat. Talk to you. But we don't know what Marvin had to go through to get where he is. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know, Andy. You know, I like you a lot, Andy. You tickle me. You remind me of the Grinch, that demeanor, you know. But that's just okay with me because I love you today. See, I don't know what Andy had to get through to be where Andy is today. And all I know, if Andy needs me, here I come. See, I'm that guy you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I may not have silver and gold, have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. I'm coming to see what's going on. Now, I'm no fool. I'm no dummy. You're not going to play on me. But if you're serious and you're trying to get your life together and you need somebody to stand on the wall, grab that green card, that blue card, you call me. And you see if Lyle's not there to see. I'm going to leave you with that. Let's restore one another. Y'all be good to each other. Be good to each other. Always, man. Pray for one another. Be good to each other. And you see somebody in the place where you're at and they're not doing well, help them. You don't got to even tell them it was you. You ain't got, if a person to you, the half house or whatever, the person's bed is not right, he gonna lose his pass, but he's gone, and he's gone, straighten his bed out for him. What is gonna hurt you, Jose? Straighten his bed out for him. Help him. He don't have to know it was you, but he'll know that somebody cared. And that act might not mean nothing today, but 5 years from now, he'll remember, man, somebody helped me when there was no reason for somebody to help me. That's all. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got anything they want to add?
You were watching the Shaq movie.
Yep, I watched the Shaq.
That's what I heard. What
yep.
I thought you were watching.
That's one of the most awesome movies you can watch. It's called the Shaq.
Yep.
You watch that movie and it'll teach you about you. I don't care who you are. Something in that movie is going to touch you. It's called the Shaq. And just look at that book. It's going to bring you to tears at some point because it helps you to understand where we come from, man. And that's what made me prompt me to talk this tonight. Let's restore each other, man. Let's don't watch it. I'm not going to ride past my brother here. He got a flat tire, and I ain't got nothing to do, but I'm going to ride by him. I'm not going to do that today. Not going to do that today, man. And with the times are different now. You could do it in the 70s, you could stop and help people. Now you got to be careful. You know what I mean? But that's why you got to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. Be prayed up and God will direct your path. God will give you when to go and when not to go. Because let me tell you something. No is not always a bad answer. If God says no, that means God says no, then there's another way to go. No is not always a bad answer. So don't feel convicted if sometimes you have to say no. But anybody got anything else they want to add before we go? Well, I'm going to ask my brother Marvin to pray us out.
Father, thanks so much for tonight. Thanks for each person here. Thanks for people who aren't here. And I just pray for several of them that are. Pray for Susie's family, especially. Her dad passed away from COVID. And I just pray for her family.
Yes, Lord.
We remember Susie and what a blessing she was.
Yes.
Pray to be with them. I thank you for this group. I thank you for each person here.
Yes.
For bringing each of us here.
Yes, Lord.
Like Lyle said, we all have gone through different things and different things to come get us to this point.
Yes, Lord.
Pray that we'll be inspired and that we will continue to reach out to you and seek your guidance and be willing to follow you. Thank you for the example that Lyles has set for us and the
praise God
stories that he told that we can relate to. And I just pray that you'll give us strength in those tough times when it seems like that there's not a way out and we have an opportunity to go back to our old ways of facing things. Just thank you that you are a God of restoration and that you continue to change us.
Yes, Lord.
She gets out on Wednesday.
Yes.
Just what a blessing she can be to her family.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for Cece and her challenges with losing her passes, and I just
pray, yes, Lord,
just use that as a teaching experience. Somehow, maybe just being there with the rest of them, she can be a light to the others.
And yes, Lord, help us.
I pray that you'll continue to work in each person's life in whatever situation that we have. And just thank you so much that you love us.
Yes, Lord.
You love us so much that you came down to earth and died on the cross for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
Took our punishment.
Yes, Lord.
I just pray that we'll each accept that and turn from our ways to yours and follow you for the rest of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.